Amen. Thank you, Miss Becky. Amen. If you got your Bible for just a few minutes, we want to talk on this subject this morning. We want to talk about encouragement. The Bible says that Paul told Timothy, as a preacher, he said to reprove, to rebuke, to exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For those of you that come this morning wanting to hear hellfire and brimstone, we're going to have a different kind of message this morning. I tell you what we want. We want the message that God wants. It's very important that we be led in everything that we do by the Holy Spirit. And this is what's been on my heart. And we're going to talk about Barnabas for just a few minutes this morning. But encouragement, I believe, is very important in people's lives. And when you look into the Word of God, you find a couple of words that actually mean the same. That's consolation or comfort. There is a man in the Bible whom we want to look at this morning who really understood what it meant to offer encouragement. Now, we call him Barnabas, but that was really not his first name. His real name, the name that was given to him maybe by his parents, was Joseph. But his nickname or his surname, now surname is not S-I-R, it's S-U-R. And you know, when I looked it up, here's the thing to understand. There's some things in your Bible, when you look them up in a dictionary, they're going to see archaic. But here's what it meant. It was a word or a name that was given to someone based upon the characteristics that were demonstrated in their life. You see, Barnabas was a name that was given to him by his peers. And basically what that name means is encouragement. Why? Because this man had a gift, and that gift was the gift of encouragement. Now, we're going to look at Acts 4:36 in just a minute, because that's where the name was given to him by his peers, by the other disciples. And they called him the Son of Consolation. And the word consolation, it basically means encouragement. And the Greek word, the root word for consolation, is parakletos or paraclete. It's the same word that is used in your Bible for the comforter, as it is called, or basically for the Holy Spirit. You see, what the Holy Spirit does is it comes alongside us to help us. And that same word that was used for the Holy Spirit, paraclete, is the same word that was used to name Barnabas. He was a man who was doing good for other people, just like the Holy Spirit does good for the child of God. You see, the Holy Spirit comes, and it comes alongside us, and it is inside of us, and what it does. And Jesus said, after I leave the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, he shall lead you and guide you in all things. And here's what the Holy Spirit does. It's with us if we're saved by the grace of God. It comes alongside us to encourage us, to help us, to teach us, to guide us. Amen. Now, the question this morning is, who needs encouragement? Amen. Everyone. There's not a single person. Now, I'm one of those kind of people. I'm one, you get to the point, and it's like this every month at work. Show me the numbers, the results, let's move on to the next thing. But even I need encouraging words. Some people, it's like having a love language. And we've had it questioned about a marriage conference. And I'm going to say this, and yeah, we're going to have one eventually. Five love languages. Some people, all they need to hear is thank you. They need to hear that you appreciate them. They need to hear that you love them. But I want to tell you, every person needs encouragement. Now, you ever been around a discouraging person? It's kind of like a person that everything you say, it's glass is half empty. It's not half full. Let's find a way to do something that's going to get, you know, you get around them, it's like, I just can't stand to be around them. It's just like they drag me down. No one wants to be around discouraging people. As I heard it said, Adrian Rogers, I heard say this. He said, it's like a drink of water to a drowning man. Or it's like you ever see people and you think, well, they're members of the cold water committee. They don't want to tell you why you can do something. They want to tell you why you can't. But why is discouragement so bad? And I want you to think about this. because it opens the door to many other kinds of sins and failures in people's lives. You know, sometimes what people need, and I've seen this, and we saw God work in people's lives this week in Bible school, they come and you can see the transformation. As you care for them and you love them and you let them know that it's all right to be a real person, you reach out to them and you put your arms around them and it starts to open them up. But what happens when people go the opposite direction? You know, sometimes people are in trouble, even doing things to themselves, because they get so discouraged that they do not think that it can get better. Now, you know, the Bible calls our God, God the Father, the God of all comfort, or the God of encouragement. Listen to this verse. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 3. It says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." Now, what does that mean? That means God loves you, just like the young man said when he was singing. Just like you are, he cares for you. You are very special to him. And when he comes into your life and he helps you, here's what he does. He is helping you so that you can help somebody else. That is why I want you to understand something. The pastor cannot do everything. The deacons cannot do everything. There are people in this church that have ministry and work that they do that I cannot do because I have not been through what they have been through. I have seen my wife minister to people and work with people, and I say, thank God you were there, because I could not have talked to them about that. Amen. Do you understand every person has a ministry? You say, that scares me. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. 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 See, comfort in this verse is the same word as Barnabas' name, parakletos, or encouragement. See, now think about this. If God is the God of all comfort, what does that make the devil? You see, Satan is the director of all discouragement. He wants you to think that you're no good, you can't make it, you failed, you can't get up. Remember, he's a liar. See, discouragement is a major cause of failure in people's lives. Now, understanding that big question, who do you want to be around? Who do you want to be surrounded by? People that encourage you and lift you up, or people that are constantly pushing you down? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 14, here's what it says, and this is a message to the church, and this is to all of us. It says, comfort the feeble-minded. You know, it's easy to find something you can say bad about somebody. If you want something to get upset about, just drive home today. I've got to where when I drive, I am looking for them. If you want to get aggravated, there's going to be something to get aggravated about. If you want to get upset, I promise you it's coming. But what about being able to encourage somebody? You see, our goal is this. It's to encourage the discouraged. Now, as quickly as I can, I want to give you a few things about Barnabas and why Barnabas had his name changed. You see, he was an encourager. In Acts chapter 4, in verse number 36 and 37, it says this, "And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation or the son of comfort, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." This is the first time we see him. And we see that they've changed his name, and the first thing that he did was that he gave something. And here's the first way you can encourage somebody. You can encourage others by practicing stewardship. You see, Joseph or Barnabas, he had a lot to give. And he saw a need, and he moved in to meet that need. And here's what I want us to understand. There is a difference between ownership and stewardship. See, what we're doing today in this house, in our lives, is we are managing the affairs of God. I was talking to somebody this week, and they said, you know, I did not choose to be born who I am. I didn't choose to be born a balding 53-year-old guy who cannot eat the things that I used to eat and enjoy them. Male, female, your race, your nationality, where you are, everything that you have. If you're talented, if you're beautiful, if you can sing, you ought to honor God with it because you didn't get it by yourself. Amen. And if God has blessed you in this life, all you're doing is managing the affairs of God. It's not ours. Alan, give me $100. I need $100. Now, come on, Alan, give me $100. Come on. Now, here's what I want you to understand. Brother Allen just gave me $100. But I tell you why he gave me $100. Because I gave it to him. And here's the message. Everything that you have it because God gave it to you. And if we want to honor God with it, we want Him to be first in our lives, and when He speaks to us with His Holy Spirit and directs us, He's not going to ask you to do something that you cannot do. If He asks you to do it, He will enable you to do it. Amen. We want to give God all the honor, the glory. You see, it's what you sow that multiplies. It's not what you keep in the barn. And I heard a very wise man, Phil Robertson, make this statement. He said, an investment that you never make is one that is definitely not ever going to pay off. And when we make an investment for the kingdom of God, let me tell you, it pays off. The first thing that we see about this man is that he gave to the things of God. So he encouraged others by practicing stewardship. You see, if he had not given this money, it would have never been given or written of him. You say, but I'm not rich. But there are other things that you can give. Remember in Acts chapter 3, verse number 6, the disciples are there, and they got the little guy sitting by the gate, and he's got his can, and he's rattling, and his little change in the bottom, and he was saying, alms, alms. They just looked at him and they said to him, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. You know, there are some people that can give financially. There's some people that can give of their talent. Some people give of their time. But all that we do, we ought to do it for the honor and glory of God. See, every person can give love. You can give help. You can give time. You can give wisdom. People in this church, seniors in this church, I want y'all to know how much I appreciate y'all. The older I get, the more I appreciate you. Because I understand how much wisdom you've got. Because when I'm standing up here behind this pulpit, I know how valuable your prayers are. See, every person can pray. See, because an encourager is a person who understands that he or she is a steward of what God has placed in their hands, whatever it may be. Here's things you can do. You say, well, I don't have a lot I can do. You can cut grass. You can clean somebody's car. You can build a ramp. You can help someone move. But I tell you what you can do. There are a lot of people, brother, that are lonely. And what you said earlier when you were up here giving your testimony about what you're going to do, praise God, it's true. There are people that can sit in a congregation like this every Sunday and they can still feel alone because all they need is somebody to take the time to listen to them and sit by them. I had to learn that the hard way. My wife doesn't want answers. She just wants me to listen. And do you know that there are people that just need that? They need you to be the ears of Jesus. The scripture says in Galatians chapter 6 verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Let's say this, I will practice stewardship, what am I going to do? I will encourage by practicing stewardship. That's what I'll do. Okay, let's look at the next one. Go to Acts chapter number 9, and we see another thing that is written of Barnabas. And you'll see how he's beginning to build as a person of character where God changed his name. In Acts chapter 9 and verse number 22, it says, "But Saul increased the more in strength." This is Saul, whose name was later changed to Paul. "And he confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ." In other words, what he was proving by his testimony and his change in his life, that what happened to him is he really got saved. He said, "And after that, many days were fulfilled. The Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. And then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how they had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus." And here's what he did. Barnabas encouraged others by extending friendship. See, Barnabas took him, and Barnabas was encouraging Paul by extending love and friendship. Sometimes the problem we've had, if we've been in church our whole life, is if they're just not just exactly like us, we get nervous. But I'll tell you, the same God that saved me can save anybody.
Amen.
And what were we but for the blood of Jesus Christ? What were we before God saved us? I'll tell you what we were. We were all sinners without hope in the world, but Jesus. You see, Paul needed someone to love him. And here's what I want you to understand. And this is something we talk about in Celebrate Recovery. Something that Judge Boosie talked about when he came here from the court system. Saul had lost all of his old friends. All the people he used to hang around, he couldn't hang around them anymore. Because if you really get saved by the grace of God, you get around that crowd, they're not going to want it. And they're not going to want you and your influence. And what we need when people come in here and God gets a hold of them is put our arms around them, to love them, to show them the kindness and the love of Christ. You see, he had lost all his old friends. And his new friends were what? They were suspicious of him. Is he really changed? Did he really get saved? Is it okay for us to let him come here? What is a true friend? A true friend is somebody who comes in when everybody else goes out. Major problem in many churches today is that we do not learn how to befriend the new believer. And I'll say this to the youth. I appreciate these youth over here, and they've given us the example. This week in Bible school, we had some people come to Bible school that not part of this church. They don't come to this church, but they came to Bible school. And I watched how they circled around them. I watched how they pulled them in. You ever been to those, and we've all experienced this, where you go and everybody's got their little cliques. And it's almost like they're in a circle, but they're not. They're in a knot. And you can't break in. They don't want no help with nothing they do. They don't want nobody to talk to them. It's us four and no more. God forbid that we be that way.
Amen.
Because we don't welcome them when they come in the door. Let me tell you something. God's got another place that he can send them.
Yes, that's right.
And if we get particular about what comes in the door, God is going to get particular about what goes on inside the door. And if we want anything, we want the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, to be rich and full in this place so that God can be lifted up and be number one. Remember, it's not about us. It's about him. Maybe we ought to do this. Just say, "Lord, this is a prayer. God, give me a new member in the church that I can encourage by giving them friendship." You see, psychologists tell us today that 70% of the population, hard to imagine in this social era that we live in, 70% of today's population suffers from chronic loneliness. Why? People say they care, but have they really received them? See, it's all about Him. Let's look at one more. We'll try to move through these. This is such a great lesson. I want you to be able to see this man, how God worked in his life, because it's an example to us. In Acts chapter number 11 and verse number 20, it says, "And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake to the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. The tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord." You see, here what I want us to see is that we can encourage others by building partnerships. You see, a revival had broken out in Antioch, and they needed to send someone to investigate. In the 23rd verse, Barnabas went, he saw the grace of God, and the grace of God was all over the place, and he reported back to his brothers, to the church there. He said, "These people are brothers and sisters." You know, sometimes we see churches today, and there's a church sign down here that I passed the other day, and I thought, if we're going to do anything in the family of God, we need to tear walls down, not build walls up. Now, folks, I'm not compromising on doctrine. We know what we believe here. Okay, and this is a conservative church, but this is not a legalistic church. You can be legalistic to the point that you're ignoring the grace of God. But if you're not conservative enough, you're not paying attention to the doctrine of God. I'm not talking about those things. But I'm talking about a way that we can work together for the cause of Christ to see as many people saved as we can till Jesus comes. Amen. See, Barnabas was not a wall builder. He was a bridge builder. A bridge builder. You see, everybody doesn't have to be just like me. If they were, let me tell y'all, this would be a boring place. I have to work on being anti-boring just to stay married, okay? I am a simple man. See, Barnabas was someone who brought people together. You see that in the scripture? You see him, what he's doing. He was not, certainly not, a member of the Coldwater Committee. He was someone who would say why it could be done, not someone who say why it can't be done. Can I tell y'all, God is going to do great things around here if we just let Him. If we just let Him, He wants to do great things. Let's look at one more. This is Acts chapter number 11. Look it down, just two more verses, verse 25 and 26. Said, "Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch." Now here he's there. He's saying these people are serving God. These people are brothers and sisters. But he recognized something. See, Barnabas encouraged others by developing leadership. You know what he recognized? Barnabas never looked at himself as a leader. He wasn't. Barnabas was an encourager. And he thought of that man Saul, his name was later changed to Paul, so I'm going to get him. He's a minister of the gospel. And he went and got him, and he brought him, and he recommended Saul to them. Now, we know if we look at the scripture, you don't hear a lot about Barnabas, but you do Paul, right? Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. You remember what John the Baptist said? He said, "I must decrease so that he can increase." Can I tell you, there may right now be a missionary, a preacher, sitting right over here. There could have been one in your class in Bible school this week, these little children, and God might have just called you to be a teacher, but there's one that might have been here today that will be a great leader in the church, in the world. Amen. And in order for that to ever happen, we got to teach them. You got to develop leadership, and you can't get jealous of them when God puts His hand on them. Can I tell you this, and I said this before, if God ever does anything in my life, it's about Him, it's not me. I couldn't have done it. I couldn't even make it without Him. And when we see God doing something, rather than trying to push people down, we ought to get under them with everything that we've got and try to lift them up. If you see a young preacher preaching the gospel, pray for him and love him. God's not calling many. Young man, thank you for those songs. Thank you for learning verses. You know, we had received the citation award this year. Praise the Lord, and we hope that we have more. Why is that important? I'll tell you why it's important. Because when they learn the Word of God and they pour it in them and they get a job and they send them out there to some of those places in this country, not in the world, but in this country, that when you go in them, you got to bring God with you because you won't find Him waiting on you. And when it's in us, it can be drawn out and be poured out, and not necessarily on the world, but sometimes you're going to need a hedge of protection around you. Amen. So we develop by teaching. See, Barnabas knew he wasn't a leader. He was an encourager, right? Romans 12:10 says this, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another." It's like this. What did Jesus say? When you go into the rooms, don't seek the chief seats. The table is shaped like a U. The corner of the table is where the head of the table sat. And people would come in and they'd try to get as close as they could as to the leadership. Here's what God's teaching, what Jesus taught. He said, you get over here in the corner. He said, it's a whole lot better for somebody to come along and say, you come on up here. Then they ought to say, you know, you don't need to be sitting in that seat. You need to go down there. In other words, if we humble ourselves, He'll lift us up. If we exalt ourselves, God forbid. And we see how Barnabas developed leadership because we see how he worked with Paul. Well, he also worked with another one. His name was Mark. It was a young man that needed somebody to work with him. Now, he ended up writing the Gospel of Mark. And let's look at this last one and we'll be done. This is in Acts chapter number 15 and verse number 36. And see how Barnabas worked with Mark, or as he's called here, John Mark. It says, "And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with him, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work." In other words, that Paul said, we took John Mark last time, and he got over there and he quit on us. We're not taking him again. In the 39th verse, it says, "And the contention was so sharp between them," between Barnabas and Paul. Remember, didn't Paul need somebody to encourage him? Don't exalt the writers of the Word of God higher than they should be. They're just people like you and me. And here we see Paul forgetting what God had done in his life. But Barnabas, he hadn't forgotten that God had called him to be an encourager. "The contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren into the grace of God." So we see that we can encourage others by rebuilding relationships. Consider John Mark. See, Mark went with Paul and Barnabas on the first journey, but he quit during the process. It was overwhelming to him. You find further written in Paul's writing where Paul writes about another young man who started out with them, but he quit. He said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Well, here's John Mark. Remember what I said about discouragement? What does discouragement do if it's not dealt with? It leads to other sins. Maybe if somebody had encouraged Demas, maybe we would be reading a book written by him and how he served God. What would have happened to Mark had Barnabas not said, no, even if you don't take him, I'm going to take him. I'm going to care for him. God didn't quit on me. I'm not going to quit on him. Just because somebody has a failure, it doesn't mean they are a failure. Failure is an event. It's not who you are. See, Barnabas would not give up on Mark because he knew, think about this, that failure is not final. Barnabas nurtures Mark and he works with him. And here's something I want you to understand. Even Paul, who would not take him, thank God for grace, amen? Now, I want to tell you, I talked a little bit about Paul. I have not always gotten it right. I have not always done it right. And I can look back at my life and I said, Lord, I'd like to be able to take those words back, or I'd like to be able to change that action. But we got to learn. Paul learned. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 11, the latter part of the verse, we find that Paul learned, because here's what he said. Paul said, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. This is the same one that the contention was so sharp that two friends parted. But what did he see? He saw God work in his life. Why? Because somebody encouraged him. And even Paul learned. Let me tell you something. Sunday school teachers, preachers, deacon, pastor, we'll learn if we'll allow God to teach us. Amen. Don't give up on someone because they've failed. Encourage them. Lift them up. You see, when people fall, what they need is restoration. I'm going to give you this. This will be my last verse, and we're going to ask them to get ready with a song. In Galatians chapter 6, in verse number 1, it says this, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. In other words, you who are, if you're okay right now and you're right with God right now, praise God. Amen. Just because it's okay at your house doesn't mean it's okay at everybody's house. Said, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You know what it tells me? You see somebody's kids in trouble? I hate it when I hear this, but I do. I wish I didn't. People say, well, my kids never act like that. Let me tell you something. You ain't done yet. Yours just might be worse. Now, when you deal with it, you're going to need the grace of God. You're going to need the love of God. And guess what? The church is going to pour it out on you, and God is too. Learn today. Because the person you condemn, you criticize, when you rejoice when God is dealing with something in somebody's life, I don't want that wrath turned on me. I want to be humble at the foot of the cross. It says, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You see, to lift people up, we need some Barnabases. Good men and good women that are full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. You see, you can say, I will encourage others by practicing stewardship. I will encourage others by extending friendship. I will encourage others by building relationships. And I will encourage others by building leadership. I want to ask you, if you would, to rise to your feet. Something we believe in at Hiram First Baptist Church, we always have an altar call. We always have an open altar. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, you need Him.